something people complain about sometimes is that the church does not offer communion to those who are outside of the Catholic communion. If you don't believe in the real presence, you're not really invited to come forth and receive. And it can seem, I know, kind of exclusive or difficult. But I think what's going on there is we just don't want people to betray their own belief. So if you come forward to a priest and the priest says to you, the body of Christ, the Catholic priest, what he means is, I'm offering you what's really, truly, and substantially the presence of Jesus. If you don't believe that, then you shouldn't say amen, because the response... I think a problem after Vatican II is that a lot of the pious practices around the Eucharist fell away. What I mean are all those signs of deep respect for the Eucharist. And that's not a trivial thing. There's the doctrine, then there are the practices and, I'd say, bodily gestures that support the doctrine. You know, so for decades, Catholics in this country so instinctually genuflected when they entered a church or before they entered the pew, well, that signaled to them what the belief was. When that practice fell away, the respect for the tabernacle fell away, people acting like church is any other public gathering place, that does in the long run affect our belief. So when the polls say that a lot of Catholics don't believe in the real presence, part of that is bad catechesis or bad teaching, but I'd say part of it too is just bad practice. You have to place these beliefs somehow in your body. You have to see people showing reverence to the Blessed Sacrament. That's why the experience in Atlanta at the Eucharistic Congress was so powerful for me, because you saw vividly on display people exhibiting their belief in the real presence. That's a very important thing. I'd say one of the most important implications of the doctrine of the real presence is that when you receive the Blessed Sacrament, you're receiving Jesus. Now, that's a dangerous business, because you're taking into your life in the most intimate way Christ crucified, Christ who assumed the stance of radical love, Christ who followed his mission all the way to God-forsakenness. No one in the Bible is ever given an experience of God without being given at the same time a mission. There's no exception to that in the Bible. Every single figure, Old Testament and New, who experiences God, whether it's Noah, Moses, Isaiah, David, Peter, Paul, any of them, without being given a mission. Right? So what's the most intimate encounter we can have with God? The Blessed Sacrament. So be careful. When you stand there and say, amen, I accept the truth of this, and I will now take it into my life, well, then you got to accept the implications of that, that you're going to be sent on a mission, which will always be a mission of love, because that's what Jesus is all about. What form it will take, I don't know. But if you keep ingesting Jesus, you become what you eat, right? You are what you eat. So you'll become conformed to that Christ, who's not an abstraction, but is the Christ who went all the way to the cross out of love. And so that's a, I urge Catholics to be aware of that. Not to come forward casually, amen. But when you say amen to that offer, that's got some implications, and they're not easy ones.